This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is Sharp Money. Dave Ross, Jared Smith coming at you from the deep and beautiful downtown Las Vegas. Wyatt Tomchak, our star producer today, gentlemen. Going to have a lot of fun for the next 3 hours. It was interesting, right before we came on, you were telling me how you got into soccer betting.
It's a great story. Like, it really is.
I just look at this and I go, who gets up in the middle of the night for us, or morning, depending on which coast you're in?
In Pacific time, right. It's really early.
To watch stuff going on in Europe, but you do it, sir.
Well, the reason that it became popular, I think, in this country. Now, it was, don't get me wrong, English Premier League, the major tournaments, those have always had popularity because it's soccer. It's a beautiful game, right? Most popular sport in the world. But I think what really amplified it here in this country, the betting side of it, was the pandemic.
No doubt.
Because we're sitting there with nothing to do.
Give us something to bet on.
And it was, besides the KBO, which was, again, I tried it for a week.
Oh, my God.
And it was really out there for me. It was overnight. I there were not a lot of good information sites to look for stats. I got away from that quickly. That was like desperation.
Just a little trial and error. And once the error happened,
they were
out.
That was desperate times. Late March, early April 2020. We weren't betting on anything.
Yeah.
And then late April, early May, that's when Germany kind of came back online. And the Bundesliga started. The Bundesliga was the first league, the German National League, to come back.
Right.
And it's like 8 in the morning. I'm in New York. I was doing some side gigs at the time, but nothing substantial. Our social lives are in the crapper. It's the pandemic.
Right.
I got into betting on German soccer. And then the English Premier League came back and La Liga came back, the other two main leagues in Europe. And it kind of snowballed. And I became a soccer degenerate. I'm not very good at it. I enjoy it. I would liken it to like a hobby. Like, you know what I would liken it to? Something that you pick up in your adult life. Like, as a kid, you're like, I hated this.
Golf.
Or I was thinking of a food. Like,
okay. For me,
it was like olives.
Broccoli.
I hated
or broccoli.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever food or alcohol you hated as a kid, or like alcohol, maybe, in your early 20s. And then as you grow older, right, you kind of grow a taste for it. It's an acquired taste.
Absolutely.
That's what soccer was for me during the pandemic.
Spain knocks off Germany today 2-1 to eliminate the host there. How big a surprise, if at all, was
not
that for you?
Not that big a surprise. Yeah. Spain was, it was kind of like a pick 'em.
Yep.
I did bet Spain to advance. I got it at Caesars at -114. So again, kind of a pick 'em on both sides. I saw a couple shops were like -120, -130 for Spain to advance. So you want to call them a slight favorite. The bigger surprise was, I think, Germany's late goal, because Spain kind of dominated that match in the first half, scored the goal early in the first half, and then Germany was just all out offensive in the last 30 minutes or so. Finally broke through. And then I thought Spain scoring in extra time was a surprise. I figured that match was destined for penalties.
So they move on. Spain does. Right now we've got Portugal and France in the third minute. They're just beginning their play today. Any leans on that one before we kicked it?
I had an exact call in the first match. Ooh. I gave out Spain 1-1, Germany 1-1, and that was the final score. Of course, they tacked on the goal in extra time, but the way you're graded in soccer, it's the 90 minutes for the most part. The majority of the bets that you make, and if you're new to soccer betting, keep that in mind. For example, if you bet Portugal money line in this match and they don't win in the 90 minutes, but then they win like Spain just did in extra time, you lose your bet because the winner is the draw. It's a three-way tier system when you're betting soccer. So there's some nuance there. There's a little bit of a learning curve. I think 2-1 Portugal, that was the score that I think is going to happen here. I think Cristiano Ronaldo's due for one. I think France gets one, but I think Portugal has enough to get two. And I bet Portugal on the money line. It was like +240. So, again, that's the beauty of the three-way. You're usually getting plus money on some of these. And we'll see. It should be a fun match.
And expecting more offense if you're expecting possibly three goals as we got in that first tilt between Spain and Germany today. So Spain moves on. Germany is out. And we'll update you on Portugal and France as we go on. The good news, and you and I both know a lot about the great city of Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the Cubby Bear got off the schneid yesterday, came back, beat the Phillies. They're already in action today. Sometimes you get that win, and man, I watch the Cubs, and it's, you feel like there's just a train wreck waiting to happen every game. Like, well, how are they going to lose today? They'll figure out a way. Yesterday, they flipped the script, and I heard the local announcer saying, hey, this team's ready to bust open. So they get that win last night. Now, already up 2-0 here, bottom third at home against the Angels.
The powerhouse Angels.
The powerhouse.
Are they on a heater right now?
Angels?
Yeah.
Always.
Are they?
I don't know. You just call them the powerhouse Angels. I don't
know. It was me kind of air quotations there.
I'll be honest. Compared to some of the bad teams in baseball this year, the Angels aren't so bad.
No, but it's just what are they called this year? They're still the Anaheim Angels of Orange County of
Los Angeles, California.
I grew up with the Anaheim Angels. That just sounded nice.
See, I was California Angels.
Okay.
California Angels. See, there's not a California team.
Right.
Right.
And that was the whole distinction. Yeah. So they went California. They're taking the whole state.
They're taking the whole state.
Now they're just Anaheim.
No, not even. They're the Los Angeles.
They're of Anaheim.
Yeah. It was a mouthful. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
I like LAA. I use a lot of the LAA abbreviations in my baseball vernacular. So let's go with that. Maybe for you as a Mets fan, NYM.
There you go.
Instead of NYY.
Well, we do the LGM.
LGM.
Or as Pete would do, the LGFM.
LGFM.
Or the Grimaces.
The Grimaces. By the way, terrible losses for the Metropolitans last couple days.
Yeah, I think the Grimace effect's over, guys.
You think that was a fun one month?
Yeah, it's that like was the Rally June. Monkey, speaking of the Angels. That was like a fun little, you know, segment of the season, but it's over now.
Can I ask you guys something real quick? I know I have scheduled yes-no playoffs, but are the Cubs, would you say, the most disappointing team in baseball for you this year?
I mean, you'd be hard-pressed for a team with expectations to say that they're not. Remember, they were the betting favorite to win the division coming in.
Which is crazy to me.
Yeah, I don't think anybody saw the Brew Crew. Maybe you did, Wyatt. I didn't see this happening with the Brewers.
Toronto's very disappointing.
They have been very disappointing.
I think Milwaukee to the upside, yes.
Yeah.
Agreed with that.
The Brewers, when they lost Craig Counsell.
How about Houston?
Decided to trade Corbin Burns.
But they're back.
They're kind of back.
They're back. Yeah, but see, that's the thing for Milwaukee. They traded away parts.
And then put the Mets Brandon in there Woodruff too. Was going to be out as well. So that was another thing.
Like, the Brewers, you friend of Rounders, alligator blood. The Brewers have alligator blood.
Yeah, they do.
They do not. They've hit more Grand Slams. What's the record for Grand Slams hit in a season? I feel like the Brewers have done it in the last 2 weeks.
What was the year when they coined it Slam Diego?
Yeah.
Remember when they had a relief pitcher hit a grand slam off of Max Scherzer, I believe, when he was with the Nationals.
Slam Diego.
It's pretty good. It's not bad.
It is not bad.
Sorry, Wyatt. I'm waiting for the Brewers' demise.
I've been on them against them in every way possible, and they keep winning games.
But they lose two in this series against Colorado.
Against Colorado.
Right? And that you go 2-2 in that series, right, in the four-gamer. So that might be... Look, it's not a big deal.
Canary in the coal mine.
But sometimes you look at it and you go, if I look back and say, when did it start to turn? Maybe it starts to turn. And then they go to LA, they stay in LA and they play the Dodgers.
That's the key, is their schedule is the baseball scheduling gods. First of all, baseball's terrible at scheduling. I won't even get into
it. My God.
Why was there a Toronto game yesterday?
It was Canada Day yesterday, wasn't it?
No,
Canada Day was July
3rd. It was Independence Day.
Why would there's two? I remember on Memorial Day, also the Yankees and the Phillies didn't play on Memorial Day, the biggest markets. And then Toronto had a home game on Memorial Day, of course, too. And then they opened the season in the middle of the night during March Madness in Korea.
Like, that makes no sense.
But that's all in the past. The baseball schedule, to me, is the hardest schedule to analyze because it's just there's so many moving parts, and it matters so much on how the rotations line up. And you just, like, for example, in the NFL, you can kind of map it out. You can't map it out in baseball because you might play the Dodgers, but what if you face the three underbelly of their rotation? Like, the numbers won't be the same. You're not facing Glasnow. Now, they are facing Glasnow tonight, but it might not shape out that way. It's really tough. And I think Milwaukee has gotten favorable scheduling over the first half. There's no other explanation for how they have a plus 77 run differential with their lineup and with their rotation. It just doesn't make sense.
It does not make a whole lot of sense. Now, you are kind of the king of no run first inning, yes run first inning. We'll get into those as the show goes on. Are you also into something that I've started to dip my toe into? Monthly betting.
Oh, yeah.
Best record of the month.
That's becoming the new VSiN, like,
I love
hot. Here's why it's really good. It gives you action for a long period of time, but it's not a futures bet.
Correct.
There,
it's a 30-day bet.
It's really just, you're kind of just segmenting off of a piece of the season almost to the highest bidder. It's a very unique way to gamble money lines.
Yes.
where you're not, because to me, the hardest thing to do betting every day in baseball is the ups and the downs and the swings. So for you to be able to stretch it out and just kind of place a wager on like a macro, I think is a really entertaining way to play it.
I did not wager it last month in the month of June. I normally play my Metropolitans, which I did not play in July. We'll get to my selection later on in the program.
Oh, but you've got one for July?
I do have one for July. And we're off to the races, baby. Great start. But in June, I didn't even think to look at it. The Mets in June were 300-1, according to my source. You know my sources? Will Hill in New York.
Will Hill.
So Will, he's like, Mets 300-1.
Yeah.
The Mets.
Will's fantastic. He's like a bloodhound.
Yeah,
like
he seeks it out.
I don't know. We did a show last week and he had one too. Like he really is impressive.
Now he didn't play it, but he just because you know he knows I'm a diehard.
Yeah.
So the Mets were 300-1. They were 17-6, I believe.
Wow.
With two games
what a month
to play.
For the Mets.
And guess what? They lost both those games to the,
Astros
in just painstaking fashion. And then the Strohs get the best record in the month.
I think Tim and JBT had the Strohs.
I think they
were giving it out on primetime.
And I know Gil was on the Strohs.
Listen, I'm never opposed to people at this network making money. So it's unfortunate you lost. But I know those games in Houston between the Houston and the Mets were pretty profitable for Tim.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. If the Mets are going to lose, I want to know that
someone else
profited. That makes me feel a little bit happier. All right, we're going to talk a lot of NASCAR as the show goes on and some NBA as well. See who the winners and losers were in free agency. That's next when you come back with us right here on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
With our all-new NFL betting guide out now, there's never been a better time to become a VSIN Pro subscriber. Our all-new NFL betting guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming season. We've got in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, betting trends. You're going to have all the tools you're going to need to bet this season smarter. Plus, our experts are going to share their top bets on season win totals, futures, props, giving you the insights you need to get ahead of the action. So to get the guide, you've got to become a VSIN Pro subscriber for a limited time. Get an annual subscription to VSIN Pro for an unbeatable price, normally $240 a year. You can now get it for just $199 with the promo code SHARP. Plus, we're going to throw in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSIN Pro access to everything we do, including our daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits, data, and our special edition betting guides to keep you betting smarter all year long. Don't miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide and this incredible offer. So visit VSIN.com/subscribe right now. Use the promo code SHARP. Get 13 months of VSIN Pro for just $199. Get instant access to our all-new NFL betting guide. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Jared Smith, Dave Ross here as we continue this edition of Sharp Money. The NBA, I'd say second season. I don't want to say that it's come and gone.
Sure.
But it's certainly, we're mostly completed what we thought.
It's an initial wave of excitement, and then it's a sea of nothingness, like combing the desert for 40 years trying to find manna.
We ain't found blank.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite lines in Spaceballs.
So good.
Comb the desert.
We ain't found. And I feel like that's what teams are doing, though.
Yes.
They're looking.
Absolutely.
They are searching with a comb in the desert trying to find anything. Did anybody either in the draft and or free agency, obviously the Sixers were the risers on the board after getting PG-13. It's so funny to me. When I see that short in the market, I go, okay.
Didn't do much in the market.
Yeah, like to me, I just go, who's Paul George at this stage? Like, is he really?
Well, no, Paul George, I think, is something to the market. I don't know if he matters as much to the Sixers' chances of winning a title. It's always Embiid.
Correct.
Like, it's not only Embiid, but it's how many games can he play and how effective can he be. I think the biggest weakness that I saw, and let's be honest, that Knicks-Sixers series, I know the seeding was relatively separate, right? It was a 2-7, right, I think. So it wasn't like this, 4-5 matchup, but that was a pretty tight-knit series.
No doubt.
Like that, I think the winner of that series, like to me, it was a war. It was probably one of the toughest series in the entire Eastern Conference postseason. And the biggest weakness, like to me, the Knicks are, I don't want to say championship team, but they're kind of in that sphere. And when the Sixers managed up, physically, I think they could handle it. I don't know. Mentally, they were there. I think Embiid kind of
broke down mentally towards the end of that series. And I think he kind of lashed out a little bit. And you saw some of the, you know.
Sure. The
moments.
Yeah.
The hissy fits at times, the moments. But I don't know if Paul George fixes that, right? Like, I think he makes Embiid's life easier, but it's all on Joel. I think the one thing I learned when I watch the NBA on a monthly basis, yearly basis, in this new era we're in, it's a star league. Mm-hmm. You have to have the stars. And he is that star, but can he play like it?
Well, if you could book him for 82, which you can't do, even with load management, if you can book him for 65 and
can
and
you book him for the whole postseason?
Well, that's the thing. You give me 65 in the regular season, so you get a decent seed, whether it's the one seed or not. That doesn't really matter. Right? It's probably going to be the Celtics, right? But it's more the health.
The one seed doesn't matter as much.
No.
Just being in the top six, I think, is the only important thing right now.
Top four would be ideal.
Yes.
Right? So if you can get that, and if you could guarantee me that with Paul George and Maxey.
And I think you do.
You think so?
I think that's what the Sixers became now. Like, I think now they're not a play-in team, and they deserve to be probably the third. I think they're the third team in the East on the odds board. I think it's Boston, New York, and now Philly.
New York and Philly are now 4-1. Okay, Philly's 4-1. The Celtics here are the short number. They're at plus $1.50.
Yeah.
The Knicks are actually plus +450.
So I think that's where the market might have overreacted.
I totally agree.
Like, I think if you – and this is what I encourage everyone – and I'm not going to say you're going to bet this now. Just because we talk about odds on the show does not mean you have to bet it.
No.
Sometimes there's conversations that help your mind frame –
We call it workshopping. You start to workshop the numbers.
I call it mental gymnastics.
There it
is. That's usually what I call it, right? The emoji with, like, the person doing, like, the handstand. And when you rank the team, like, just close your eyes and rank the teams in the East. Like, obviously Boston's won. How much are they won? All right, well, that's where the argument can come in. But where do you go to? I still kind of go Knicks to. And the odds aren't telling you that right now.
No.
So that's where you can, and again, it's such a small difference, plus +450 to $4. Like, you're not going to, like, run to the window to bet that. But that's where you can start to look at the numbers and say, all right, if there's upside, that's where it's going to come from.
I guess the question comes down, do you like Bridges to New York better than you like PG-13 to Philly?
Yes.
I mean, that really is what we're talking
Bridges
about.
I think Bridges plays more. I think the culture's better. I think he's a better fit. Where I think Paul George is a name before a fit. Now, he might be a fit, but I think it's hard. I think when you're at this stage, and Bridges is a veteran, too.
He's a good player.
Yeah, he's a veteran, so I'm not going to say he's like this, you know, rookie out of college that Tibbs can sink his claws into.
Right.
Like, he's played in this league a long time. He's a veteran. But he's going to a situation where he's basically playing with his college teammates, and they kind of can adapt to each other and use the puzzle mentality.
Yeah.
The NBA, while the stars are the corner pieces, and those are the ones you're always trying to get first, the rest of the roster fits together like a puzzle. Is Paul George the right size for what the roster currently calls for? I don't know the answer to that question right now. We haven't seen him play 1 second.
Well,
if he is, then Philly's probably better than what the number's saying. If he's not, then they're probably worse.
I mean, here's the bottom line. How does Paul George play off the ball? Because he's not going to have the ball.
Yeah.
Max is going to have it, and Joel Embiid's going to have it, right? I mean, Embiid's going to want it as a point center. Sometimes. And
Embiid makes things hard because there's very few players in the game, unless you're Nikola Jokic, that can be a big man and can control the tempo.
Yeah.
Because you don't play as many minutes. Jokic is a freak. He could play forever. Embiid does not have that stamina, and he doesn't have that longevity. It's a tough fit. I think they're better, but how much better, I think, is the argument.
To be the second choice now to win the NBA championship is
probably a stretch.
Bizarre to me.
That's a stretch.
That's where we're going with Philadelphia. I mean, the only thing that would be better is if Doc Rivers is still the coach.
That's a stretch.
Then I'd tank the team
well,
completely.
Well, I honestly think, and I've seen this before, where teams – we've seen this in the NFL, actually. It actually happens a lot in the NFL. Teams will fire their coach midweek, and the number will move towards them. Like,
sure.
It's a good, like, it's a positive
thing. Yeah, you would play for the interim guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I think if the Sixers brought in Rivers, it would be the opposite. It would be the opposite approach. They'd go back down.
Yeah, that's my thing. I always call him the great Doc Rivers.
You guys taking shots at my Milwaukee Bucks here?
Well, see, that's what I want to get at.
Lord.
Why? Because I look at Milwaukee now as the fourth choice in the East at 6-1.
And they're for the first time in this run with Giannis under the radar.
How about that? Nobody's talking about Milwaukee.
Nobody.
But again, because they have the great Doc Rivers, and we saw what happened there. right? And then Dame.
Well, it wasn't. It wasn't Doc's fault.
It's never Doc's fault. Why? Well, that's the point. It's never Doc's fault.
Are you a Milwaukee guy?
Yeah, I am.
I didn't. Know that.
Oh yeah. That's exactly where you guys
work together very closely, so you have those intimate details.
That's why I wanted to poke the bear a little bit right there.
Look, I don't care what coach you had. If you're missing Giannis for the playoffs, Damian Lillard's missing a couple games. Chris Middleton's banged up. It was just a very unlucky break. This is going to be now a full year of Doc Rivers. This is where I think we can really kind of judge him on how he's going to do.
I'm so bad with the draft because it's only like the top guys matter. Did Milwaukee do anything in the draft?
So the first guy they drafted was a young guy from America, went to play in the Australian League, and he averaged probably less than 3 points per game.
That should help. Yeah, so, that should be great.
I heard the Kangaroos they jump real high there in Australia.
I was meaning to ask Ben Wilson because the second guy they picked was
Midwest.
But the second guy they picked
and beers
was from the G League Ignite that Ben was calling
ben
games
likes
for.
Yeah, Ben got likes some that kid, context yes. with that league. I mean, I think the draft. I think the NBA. Like, if I had to rank the drafts. The NFL draft is obviously one, and you might have to run like a marathon to get to where the next draft is in terms of instant, immediate impact and like short things. Because even guys that get taken in the top five of the NBA draft, sometimes we don't know what these French guys are going to do in the
league. The NBA draft used to be that because now the influx of the European aspect of it, because of the G Leagues, which we know are going away. But because now you have so many alternative measures to get to and routes to get to the NBA, it's not your dad's NBA draft.
No.
Where you knew these kids coming out of college. You knew when Jordan got drafted third. You knew when Hakeem got drafted second. You went, oh my goodness, it's going to be lifetime and franchise changing things.
The Darko draft changed it.
The Darko. Absolutely.
When they took Darko over Carmelo.
How about that? Worked out pretty
well.
They
won a championship the next year.
Darko got a ring.
Yeah, Darko got a ring. Carmelo Anthony doesn't have a ring.
But why, very quickly, you actually believe that you can run that back? Because look, Dame's not getting younger. Middleton's not getting younger. And now Giannis, you got to hope that he can be like Embiid free and not get injured every year.
I think the real key is if all three can stay healthy.
Well,
I think the big three, they played 20 games together. I mean, Chris Middleton was probably the one who had the most injuries, but then Giannis missing a good portion with that calf injury. Dame was banged up at some point in the year. I do. I like some of the free agent acquisitions they got, kind of, low level guys, bench players. So I want to see how it goes if they're healthy.
I just hope finally Doc Rivers gets a chance to prove himself in this league. I mean, when we come back, another guy that will get a chance to prove himself in the league, Bronny James. Heard of him? No. Any numbers that we like? We'll discuss the King's Kid next here on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Each and every day before you make those wagers, you know what to do. Check it out. VSIN.com. You're going to get your best bets, your betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, and they do vary. Betting tools, betting guides, they are all there for you every day at VSIN.com. Back alongside Jared Smith, Dave Ross here as we continue this edition of Sharp Money. And when Wyatt put this in the rundown yesterday, I thought, Bronny James. Now, look, he's polarizing just because of obviously who he is. We all understand
100%.
That, right? And so there's been so much talk. One of the conversations that I've kind of removed myself from, because I got to be honest with you, I don't really care about the nepotism charge. Like,
no,
I look at it and I go.
That happens in sports.
All the time.
Every day.
All the time. And I go, wait a minute. We're mad. We're supposed to be mad at LeBron James for telling the Lakers, you're drafting my kid at 55. We all know that.
Don't be mad at Joe Buck for forcing the A's to hire his son as the TV guy. I'm sure he's a really nice kid. He does great work. But
if you're a professional.
He's never worked a day in his life. He's got a Major League Baseball TV job.
If you're a professional and you are worth your salt in your profession, sometimes your employer wants to make you happy. And I think the Lakers are like, well, what do you want? 55? You want me? Well, we'll take Bronny. Like, I don't get what all the consternation is about. And I see it all over the place. Professionalism. I'm like, dude, they're placating LeBron James.
Yes.
And why wouldn't you at this stage? Now, look, is it going to help the Lakers right away? That's to be seen.
Probably not.
Probably not. So on DraftKings right now, you've got the Bronny specials.
Bronny specials.
Sounds like if you went to Denny's. What do you want? I'll have the Bronny special.
I prefer a Grand Slam, actually, if I'm being perfectly honest with you.
I'm sure you, especially if you have yes in the run on first.
100%.
Now, look at these numbers here for Bronny. Okay, if you want to go Bronny, this is amazing.
It's unbelievable that they have a whole menu. I think we should try to get DraftKings on the horn to see how much handle they're getting and what the limits are on these.
I was really interested when I saw this. I was like, this might be a fun talking section.
Oh, it's a great talker.
It is, and I'm gonna slam DraftKings in a constructive criticism way.
Oh, I want to hear this, Dad.
Yeah, but please finish your introduction.
Okay, so I look at the first one on the board at -$1.10. Any game in this upcoming regular season that Bronny James gets you 15 or more. 15.
I want to say yes to that just because of the blowout factor that's in the NBA.
Dude, you're picking up what I'm putting down. I wanted to bet no.
You know how many games there are in
exactly.
the league?
Exactly.
You know how many games LeBron and AD are probably going to miss next year? Well, over. Bet the over on whatever game's number that is.
I think what we have to do really for the handicap, if you're actually trying to make this profitable, is how many games does he play? What's the realistic number that we see Bronny James playing in a Laker uniform this year?
That's a fair question, and I think that's a fair place to start.
Right.
So I'll give you the initial pushback to these numbers. And if you go to the DraftKings player special set, there aren't a lot of NBA bets up right now, right? Like we're in that time where we're kind of in the no man's land for NBA numbers. Like obviously you can bet the futures market and the very rudimentary futures markets, east, west, etc. But there ain't a lot of accoutrement to the NBA markets right now. It's bare bones, meat and potatoes only.
This is dessert. If you want a little dessert.
I understand what DraftKings is trying to do. They're trying to create product in a time where there isn't a lot of product to create. The problem that I have when books, and it's not just DraftKings. It's all the big box shops that do this. They put these numbers up, and there's only one side of the market.
Uh-huh. There's no.
There's no no. There's a yes. Will Bronny do this? Yes. Show me the no. Because if you want to make a fair bet, I'm not going to say, and if you're making a bet on this right now, you are sitting, you're hatching an egg like old Mother Goose, and you're hoping in 8 months that it matures into a, whatever species of egg you are hatching. You got to give me a no. Because if I'm going to at least invest my money for 6, 8, 9 months, I want to at least make a fair investment.
I think that's totally
That's why
acceptable.
I'm not touching these with 10-foot pole. We can talk about them. They're fun talk. But this is, to me, unbettable because of that situation.
So we got 82 games. The Lakers probably have one. I mean, I got to think they think with LeBron coming back in, opting back in, 2-year deal, right? So he opts out, comes back for 2 years. They got a 2-year window.
Yeah.
There's a 2-year
window. And I think year one's kind of a slow ascent, kind of when you take off, you don't hit top speed right away.
Well, see, that would make it interesting because if they're pushing in the chips now, and we'll figure out what other moves they make to improve this roster, then how much time is Bronny going to see? He'd only see time, you would think, in the blowout situation, and then he'd have to get you 15. So it's either you're up 40 or you're down up 30, down 30, and Bronny's seeing action. Now, do they carry him on the roster to begin the season?
I think so with the contract.
Yeah, I think they have to, and that's why the contract caused a lot of controversy.
Yes.
I think that would be the only pushback I have to the Lakers doing this.
Okay.
Not that they did it and they drafted him, but they gave him a very nice contract. A sweetheart deal. And a lot, I've seen some second rounders get deals like this, but it's rare.
I mean, he's the highest paid number 55 pick in NBA history.
Yes. Right.
And it's rare. It's happened where second round guys get that full extension or that full, guaranteed contract, but it's rare. And I think, if you're going to grade the second round picks in the history of the NBA, like I just don't think Bronny's in that sphere where he deserves the money. And that's always the part about nepotism that I dislike.
Is the money part of it?
It's you get the opportunity because of who your dad is, who your parents are. What keeps you there and what gets you the wealth is your talent. And he hasn't done that yet. So I would have given him, and if I was LeBron, I would have said the same thing. Like, hey, we'll bring you in, but you're going to have to earn your way.
Yeah, money you would not think is what he would need. He would need opportunity.
Exactly. And that's why I was like, wow, they're really going all in with this because they're giving him an unbelievably lucrative deal that is very player-friendly for a second-round pick. That's why I think they're going to play him because they're paying him. Why wouldn't they play him? So And this is all just conjecture. Sure. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But they're paying him more than any other pick that's ever been drafted in that position. If they're paying him that much, get out there and earn it, kid.
I tell you what, I'd like to play the yeses on this. I'd like them a lot more if this was for him playing at USC. But since it's
against the Pac-2 and not the NBA,
and it wouldn't be a given that they hit. That's the problem. Right now, we're expecting this in the next league against other. Because again, you got to theorize that when he's in, it's against the other 12th man
backups.
Right, it's the other backups. So is he the king of backups? If he is, okay. And we've seen this all the time, right? Where coaches go, all right, let's see what my second, third units look like, if there is such thing as a third unit. Let's see what my deepest guys on the bench look like, and then they'll get more playing time accordingly if they play well.
And I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and a coach is going to use all 12. He's trying to mix and match and figure out how deep can I go on this bench.
New head coach.
Right.
Tied very closely to LeBron. Bronny's going to get more opportunities than any other 55th pick with no college clout has ever gotten in the history of the NBA. The question is, what does he make of it? That's a question that we in our wildest dreams can't answer. But if you were going to ask me yes, no, does Bronny get a chance to hit some of these numbers this year? I say yes, but he might go out there and brick every shot he takes, and he might not be ready. And then you're in trouble.
I wouldn't lay the $1.10 that Bronny gets 15 points in any game this season. You know why? Because if he gets you 15 or more, he's probably knocking down three threes.
Agreed. That's a really smart way to play it.
Right? So you can get plus money at that prop here in DraftKings at plus $1.20.
Yeah.
This is all in theory, as Jared and I are trying to lead
that
you down.
That is the better of the two at the bottom of the totem pole. Then if you really want to get nuts, you go to the four threes at plus +550. I think that would be as high as I'd be willing, as you're seeing all these options on your screen here with some of the astronomical price tags associated with some of the ones on the bottom. It looks like some of my 10-team Nerfy parlays that always lose. I would say number three on the list, which is four plus threes made in a game. I think that's as crazy as I'm willing to go.
That's probably as far up the elevator.
That's
right?
What
deal or no deal. I'd take the deal right
there.
That's it.
Freeze.
Right, stop.
When he was at the NBA Combine, they were really impressed with his 3-point shot.
Yeah, so I think that's nothing that takes experience. Like, you just have to go in there and make shots.
And again, if
they were saying Caitlin Clark could come to the NBA now and make threes, I don't believe that. But that's what I heard some of the pundits say.
Well, if they don't guard her, she'll knock him down. Exactly. I mean, that's the thing. They don't guard you normally out there, especially if you're Bronny James. They're probably going to be like, I'll slough off him, see what he's got. So instead of playing the 15, he's going to start driving to the rack and ones.
Even 15 points, you hit four threes, you might not get there.
Exactly. So to me, I think it's a much better play to play the plus money.
Agreed.
That me and Jared are getting at here. So you can get a plus $1.20 that gets three, plus +550. They get you four.
I wouldn't bet any of these though officially.
No,
these are all just, and I would be willing to bet that the limits are so low that if you tried to come in with like something more than like $500, you probably get denied.
Yeah.
I would say also keep an eye out for next week's NBA Summer League. Bronny will be playing in that. So just keep an eye out. You know how he does
look
in that.
Out.
The market will move. This market will move if he comes out the first Summer League game and drops like three or four threes.
But again, I'm not saying play it because I'm with you. I will not be playing
I'm
these.
Not betting
if you really
I'm
want to play them.
Bet it before the Summer League.
You better bet it early. I'd play the plus money.
He is going to play more than any Summer League guy. Earn that money. You're going to pay the highest pay 55th pick in ever. Earn that money, kid.
We watched Wemby last year at the Summer League.
Yeah.
All eyes are going to be on Bronny Bron. This is going to be amazing to see what Bron Jr. can do here in Summer League out here in Vegas. Okay, when we come back, I got the king of yes, no, first inning run. We're going to get to all of that next here on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With our all-new NFL betting guide out now, there's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Our all-new NFL betting guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming season. We got in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, betting trends. You're going to have all the tools to bet this season smarter. Plus, our experts are going to share their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights you need to get ahead of the action. So to get the guide, you got to be a VSiN Pro subscriber for a limited time. Get an annual subscription to VSiN Pro for an unbeatable price. Normally it's $240, but now by using the promo code SHARP, you can get it for $1.99. That's $199. No, $1.99. That's 13 months of Visa Pro access to everything we do, including our daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and our special edition betting guide to keep you betting smarter all year long. Don't miss out on this all-new incredible offer for our NFL betting guide. So visit Visa.com/subscribe right now. Use promo code SHARP. Get 13 months of Visa Pro for just $199. Get instant access to our all-new NFL betting guide. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Back alongside the king of Nerfy Yerfy. He is Jared Smith. I am
That's
David.
Me.
I'm not a king of anything.
Well, to be fair,
where's your crown, king? Nothing.
Well, we've talked about this before. You can't make up your own name.
No, you get them.
You get them. And so Dustin Sweetelson, who usually sits in this chair, actually sits. I think he's. I don't know what chair he sits in. Usually sits in this table.
Dustin started here. He migrated over.
And now he's over here. He's usually the co-host of this show.
Right.
He dubbed me the father of first innings.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And I'll be honest. I love the name so much, and I'm not like a.
Did you get a tattoo on your name?
No, I was close to putting it in my ex profile, and I was like, "Eh, it's a little too corny, so I'll just keep it out." But
I think a tattoo right across your back would be
right
better.
Around the little stamp on the back.
You go to the beach, you take it off. Oh. Father of first name. People would go, "What
it's
is
such
what?
A cool moniker?" And Dustin's he is the king of this, coming up with ways to classify people that doesn't offend them, but's funny.
Yeah.
And that was hilariously funny, but also not offensive. So thank you, Dustin.
What if you just want to tattoo F-O-F-I? How many people would come up to you?
B-5-O-F-U-M.
People would be like, excuse me, sir, what does that mean? Oh, well, what I do is I break down the first innings in Major League Baseball.
I'd get it in like a really random spot.
Actually,
like
that'd be a kind of a badass tattoo.
Yeah, it would be F-O-F-I.
F-O-F-I.
Nobody, not Semper Fi, Fo-Fi.
There you go, Fo-Fi. Nobody would have any idea.
No.
They'd want to know what it means. But I got to ask you, and I've asked you this on different outlets before. How did you come up with it? Like, where did it really originate for you?
So I have been betting Nerfies basically since I started betting baseball more than recreationally. Mm. And what I mean by that is the first few years of me betting. So I started betting baseball when I was 16 years old. That was the first baseball bet I made, obviously, from faraway lands.
Do you remember what the wager was?
I don't, but I remember.
What's the statute of limitations? Because
there's no statute of limitations for stuff like that. You can't incriminate when you say that you bet offshore because there's technically no. It's not something that they could ever really get you for.
Right.
As long as you're not doing it ridiculously. But when I was 16, I was basically stealing my mom's credit card and trying to play it off like
Oh, yeah.
I've come clean on this.
It was just for Starburst, a bunch of Starburst.
Exactly. Actually, my best stealing money for gambling moment came on a cruise ship when they would let you charge chips back to the room.
Oh, wow.
I was 18. That was a long time ago.
That is fantastic.
But I digress. So I started betting baseball when I was 16. I would say the first like 5 to 10 years and in my college years and in my mid-20s. Like, I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I was just betting on things because I liked it. Then once I got kind of a sense of, okay, I'm in my 20s. I'm working in sports every day. I'm dissecting this every day. Now at least I have a sense of what's happening. That's when I really started to get into it. And I had a friend at the time who was really into it. Mm. And he put me onto this bet. And there was only one book at the time that even offered them. And this was, I want to say, 2015, 2016, somewhere in that year. And I just religiously started betting these. Stupidly. Parlays, all kinds of stupid stuff. Actually, one of the offshore sites, goodness gracious, used to let you make open parlays where you could bet something and do like a 10-leg open parlay, make the first leg, and leave the other 9 legs open.
Oh, how nice is
and
that?
And just, now there was like a time limit. You have to do it within, I think, a week.
Okay.
But I would just put one in, and the next day put another one in, and I had a couple weeks there where like I hit like five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 legs just based off doing that.
Wow. But you're building them as they go.
Building them as they go. And again, that's not a good long-term sustainable strategy. But my point being, I really started to dive into the Nerfy. Mm-hmm. And then I left the business entirely, did, you know, finance life thing. And then when I came back into sports betting in 2019, it was a thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I used to do this 5 years ago. Like, I actually have some experience.
Like, I know what I'm doing here.
And then 3 years ago in 22, when I was working at the time for PicksWise, I had a lot more time on my hands because it was the first time that I was being paid a full-time salary and I wasn't really working full-time.
Right.
I was doing a lot of content for them. It was the first time I had a chance to actually, like, do content. And that's when I had the idea, how about we track this every day? Like, let's make this like a, let's make this a thing. And then it kind of snowballed because I remember the first month I started putting out, this team is doing this well, and people went bananas. And then once I got the reaction initially, because that's how you do content these days. You do a lot of dumb stuff. Half of it people ridicule and make you seem like you're the dumbest person in the world. And then, all right, well, let's not do it that again. And then the other half of it, maybe less than that, maybe it's like 20%. It's like people react
to
it. And so it's trial and error. This was one of those projects in that time that really caught on, and I just kind of kept running with it.
I think it's fantastic. You've got one that I that certainly caught my eye today that when you gave it to me and Wyatt before the show, and that's my Metropolitans going up against Paul Skeens. It's not the Pirates. They're going up against Paul Skeens.
Yeah, I like the Nerfy in this game.
Right? So you got big seven on the bump here for the Metropolitans, and you've got Skeens for Pittsburgh. Well, obviously, these are two guys right now trending in the right direction for your numbers.
Yeah, Severino 7-0 on the road this year, 14-2 on the season of the Nerfy. Skeens, I'll be honest, I think Skeens is actually the part of this I'm a little bit more nervous about.
Really?
Well, the one thing I've noticed, he started 6-0 to the Nerfy, now three straight Yerfies.
Oh.
And here's what's happening. We saw the same thing with Jared Jones, and I'll be honest, I know there's some people here at the network and you know other people that are very excited about Paul Skeens' Rookie of the Year futures. I don't think it's a really – I think right now he is the clear-cut favorite. But I think there's a cliff, and I think if he gets pushed off the cliff – and what I mean by that is the book is out. This is his 10th start tonight. This is around the time we saw Jared Jones, who was the other sensational. I mean, as good as Skeens is, Jones was a little bit beneath it, but still right there.
What a 1-2.
And then we saw the drop-off because he's kind of a two-pitch guy. Now, Skeens has more arsenal to him, but the book is out. And these are major league hitters. They will adapt. They will adjust. We'll see how the Mets handle it. The Mets have been hot. They're on the road. They hit lefties better during this stretch, but they're hitting everything right now. I wouldn't be shocked if someone ran into one in the first inning. That's what's been happening with Skeens over the last few starts.
By the way, we're going to we'll talk much more Major League Baseball in the next 2 hours as well. I'm on the Mets today.
It is, I like it. It's Are they a dog?
Plus $1.20.
Yeah, I'll be honest. And it's more of a Pirates bullpen thing than anything else.
Yes.
You're betting on the full game. Skeens is not going to go more than six innings.
Exactly. That's the right handicap. For me, I look at it and I say, well, if Big Sev can match Skeens, and then you get Skeens out of there. The other part about, and I'm getting you, I saw Skeens, I think, was 30-1 for Cy Young.
Yeah.
And I get it. He's dynamic. We all get that.
He's fantastic. He deserves to be the favorite right now. But
they're going
to
shut him down.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean by the cliff. I think, and also the one thing we've noticed in this awards market is precedent towards hitters.
Yeah.
The Braves, 2 years ago, you had Michael Harris and Spencer Strider. Two guys on the same team. How good was Strider that year? Guess who won the Rookie of the Year? So it just, I think the bar is higher for pitchers because they only play once every 5 days.
Yeah.
And the bar was even higher for Imanaga and Yamamoto because they weren't rookies. Let's call it what it is. They weren't rookies. But now you get them kind of out of the mix. Imanaga's fallen back. Yep. I think, you know, with Yamamoto's injury, obviously you push him to the side. It's a race between Skeens, Jackson Merrill, and maybe another position player we're not thinking of. I think we're too late for a dark horse. I thought Mason Wynn had a chance. I think now it's Skeens and Jackson Merrill. I think those are the two guys that are going to win this.
And my issue with betting Skeens in any market, whether it's going to be Rookie of the Year, whether it's going to be outside shot, long shot for Cy Young, is that are the Pirates going to be in it in August? And if they're not, they're probably going to shut him down for the final month of the season.
I've had this conversation with several really smart people who I respect. My initial instinct is the Pirates historically have shut guys down. The pushback I've gotten has been Skeens is the exception to the rule.
Oh.
And that's a fair argument. That's a fair argument. I think if you were going to ask me to profile the pitchers historically that teams in Pittsburgh situation tend to be conservative with, I would agree that Skeens is a little bit, you know, the charisma factor, like the ambiance is a little bit different than all the other guys.
It's Paul Skeens Day. When he pitches in Pittsburgh, it's a massive
That's
day.
Rare for a rookie.
When Jake Arrieta was going nuts in Chicago and I was living in Chicago, they called it Jake Day. And everybody, you know, flushed to the ballpark to watch Jake Arrieta. I mean, think of that. That's how great Jake Arrieta was. So you have these kind of phenomenons.
Exceptions.
That happen. Will they do that? I'm not sure. Hour number two, straight ahead here of Sharp Money.